How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about a whole mix of things. So I suppose we can just start off with the war in Iran. The phone lines are open, by the way. If you want to call in, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So the Iran war has been going on for 27 days now, and the Department of Defense has reportedly informed Congress that the first 6 days of the war cost $11.3 billion. So, I'd assume the first couple days of the war had more expenditure of arms than the rest of the days. It's just kind of we surprise attack that whole thing. Roughly, I would assume it's going to be kind of the same. So, I did some math. So we took 11.3, divided it by 6, multiplied that by 28. So, roughly, as of currently, the... I multiplied it by 28 because this show's over at 11. So by the time this show's over, it'll basically, in an hour, be 28 days. So as of currently, roughly 52.5 billion spent on the war. So, as of currently, we have spent roughly... a little over $500 million on the Iran war. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but the U.S. national debt is at an all-time high. We've broken the record on that one. Donald Trump does have the best national debt ever, as far as the highest number. But yeah, so war is a massive waste of money. So yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting, so I figured I'd throw that in there. That's a lot of money spent on war. Now, I also thought one of these days I'm gonna go through and I'm gonna tally up how much this war costs. I'm gonna go through and be like, see how many funding schools, funding healthcare, funding social security, stuff like that. You could spend a lot of, we could cut $200 billion off of our military budget and still have the number one military budget in the world. We spend a stupid amount on military budgets. I guess that's neither here nor there as of now. The budget's been passed. The Department of Homeland Security, they have still yet to receive funding. The shutdown is now going on 44 days. They did take a vote, but the vote failed. The Republicans once again shot it down. So that's rough. But Trump did sign a executive order taking money from I don't think he said where, but taking money from elsewhere and paying the TSA people to hopefully get the airports moving a little faster, because apparently he said the airports are a mess, or however he phrased it. But yeah, you'll have that. I mean, Donald Trump, when he took office, I mean, he axed a large portion of Homeland Security, air traffic control, and things like that. So it doesn't surprise me. What'd you expect to happen? And then you went on government shutdown, and then the Department of Homeland Security went on shutdown. It's a mess, for Trump as of currently. As of today, there was a nuclear facility attacked, by Israel. Israel, attacked a nuclear, I think it was a heavy water facility. I don't know, it even went over, it produced something like, called, yellow cake or something like that, and it's like, used for something or another. I assume nuclear energy, I don't know that they're using it for bombs. But thankfully, there were no casualties, on either side, and, also thankfully, there's no contamination. Radiation contamination is brutal. No contamination. So that's always a plus. So I don't know exactly what they hit or how much damage it did, but no casualties, no contamination, so no widespread problems as far as that goes. Radiation is so brutal that cancer rates in Nagasaki and Hiroshima are still significantly higher than the global average, even the national average. Japan's national average, obviously. So, you know, it's an interesting time. Well, also, speaking of, not too long ago, Russia had a drone hit the Chernobyl. They have, like, a dome around Chernobyl that protects Chernobyl from leaking radiation. It creates, like, a negative vacuum somehow to keep all the radiation in and not let any out. But they blew not all of it up, but they put a hole in it, so it is not working as of currently. But my understanding is Ukraine's on that, but it'll take a while to get it fixed, especially as the war goes on. And even if they get it fixed during the war, I think there's a fair chance that Putin just does again. He did say, or Russia did say, that it was a, like a loose drone. But I don't know. Speaking of, or not speaking of, I don't know why I said speaking of, but an undercover cop in New York ended a plan to firebomb the house of a Palestinian American activist. Now, I don't know where the political violence has come from, but I think political violence is just like the bane of humanity. Political violence is no good. Political violence just leads to more political violence. Generally speaking, that tends to be the trend. It's not great. And, yeah, the more political violence there is, the closer we are to a civil war, in my opinion. I don't think we're heading toward a civil war. There needs to be, like, you know, 100 times this, but it's certainly not good to see it happening. I don't know. Maybe I'm just naive, but I never thought in my lifetime I'd see a politician or a I don't want to say public figure, because public figure is just too broad a statement, but like, politician, at the very least, assassinated. Now, I guess these aren't politicians, but, I mean, like, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Donald Trump, I think, had 2 or 3 assassination attempts against him. There was, somebody was through, or I don't think they didn't throw them, but they tried to throw pipe bombs at a Mamdani speech, I think it was a speech. And now this, it's a rough time. I don't think we should be going down that path. I think we should just take a breather. You know, we got 2.5 years left of Donald Trump, and then hopefully we get back on track. But this, I don't think this is the way to handle it. We're almost at midterms. We just gotta get everybody to vote. But yeah, no. Big long spiel, I guess. But yeah, I'm glad that that nobody was hurt, and that the cop in question did in fact. By the way, the cop was from the New York Police Department, so that's good. Good on the NYPD. Yeah, and I'm glad nobody's house got firebombed, and I'm glad no firebombs were thrown. I don't know what's up with people. People are crazy nowadays. So I don't... That's no good. But, in other news, back to the Israel-US-Iran war. So, we are, I guess, having peace talks, allegedly. And in a show of good faith, Iran has let 10 oil tankers through Hormuz, and, yeah. So, I don't know how that's gonna go, but I don't know. I mean, Donald Trump's an interesting kind of fellow. I don't know that he knows what he's doing. I mean, instead of, I don't know, he didn't play it very diplomatically. He said that Iran let him through as a gift to the United States. Which is, I guess, true to some extent. It's a show of good faith. But, you know, what we're going to call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, do you think this war has made us safer?
I don't think war makes anybody safer.
Well, maybe they won't have an atomic weapon. But I guarantee you there's going to be some major terrorist activity over here.
I've said
to
it.
To let us know that they can reach us. And Trump, you know, they threatened to kill Trump. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if something don't happen to him here for too awful long.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. I think everybody should have a nuke. We should just give everybody a nuke. And then we can't be like, oh, but this person's going to have a nuke. They're in the process of making a nuke. Just give everybody a nuke, and then everybody can just calm down. Nobody's going to use nukes because nobody wants to get nuked. We should just take a big breather.
Do you think if Donald Trump, if he had a nuke and we all had nukes, that he's about ready to go and he don't think he's going to heaven, you'd think before he goes, he might just send off a nuke to us? I don't think he cares about his kids that much.
Well, I would, you know, I don't know about that. I mean, a lot of what he's done has enriched his kids.
How much was in those kids' lives when he was younger? What was in those kids' lives when they was younger was
there
funny.
There are clips on the internet of him with Barron and Don Jr. when they were actual children.
Well, there was clips of him with his daughter, too.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, he was apparently in their lives enough.
I mean, what daughter has their arms around, you know, their dad, looking that way towards their dad? I mean, but I don't think this war is going to make us safer. You know, people over in those heavy religious areas are going to try to come back and, you know, do some terrorism on us, and Iran's going to want us to know it was them that did it. So, no, we're not safer. There was no chance of them sending a ballistic missile from where they are and hitting the United States.
So I have a question. So you think Iran shouldn't get nukes?
No, well, no.
Okay, but if I guess the logic here for the Republicans and Donald Trump is that if they kept going on the diplomacy path that we had for the last, like, 40 to 60 years, they're going to have a nuke because we're just going to keep, like, you know, pushing it farther down the line, and then eventually by the time the negotiations fall through.
Did Donald Trump tell us that they've obliterated all their nuclear sites, the nuclear threat from them?
Well, yeah, but Donald Trump said that. But, I mean, even the U.S. intelligence said, hey, those sites that we hit, they're not fully destroyed. We were wrong. And then Donald Trump said, no, don't listen to those reports. Listen to me. Donald Trump's wrong. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Donald Trump, I think, has acknowledged he's... I mean, I don't know if he's publicly acknowledged he's wrong at this point, but I think he's pretty good and well in his brains, like, yep, we did not demolish it.
Oh, yeah, he don't think he caused it. He thinks, you know, dropping... And I didn't, you know, care much for it when Obama did it and stuff either, you know. But there was a difference just selectively, you know, shooting some areas in Iraq without this full-blown war that you don't want to make it look like you've lost it. You want... Iran that... give you some type of concession or something and ask for the war to be ended. We could pull out any time we want, and what's going to happen in that strait over there happens, you know?
Now, I don't know that you can call this a full-blown war. I mean, it's a war, I'm sure. I'll give you that. But, I mean, like, when I'm thinking full-blown war, I'm thinking, like Vietnam boots-on-the-ground kind of warfare. I mean, we don't really have that. I mean, we've deployed troops over there.
We are now. They're sent over there.
Well, but they're not deployed into active... I mean, I guess they're in combat zones because they could be bombed, but they're not, like, on the front lines, active combat, like, firefights kind of thing. Like... I mean, the troops that...
We don't really know because they're not going to tell us the truth.
Now, I don't know what... I don't know what their assignment is, obviously, but the troops that were sent over there, I mean, they're trained in more than combat. I mean, like, they're trained in, like, protecting embassies, which the embassies have been under attack. They're trained in emergency... civilian evacuation and emergency response and things like that. So, I mean, that would all... I mean, if you're getting bombed, I would assume that'd be an emergency response, civilian evacuation. And, yeah, I mean, that fits.
Yeah, but they're not necessarily trained like a soldier, you know, in the Army is.
Well, they're Marines. So, in theory, they have better training.
Marines,
I mean, everybody
too,
says
the Marines...
That the Marines
normally,
are.
You know, they come before the Army.
Yes.
But, you know, having that
first on scene, last
warfare on scene. Like we had over in Vietnam, you're going to have over there. And, you know, we're just not prepared for this stuff. Most of our military stuff was made for the sand. I wonder how much sand Iran has.
Well, I mean...
You know, our military equipment's, you know, tan. It's not even bright or camouflaged anymore.
I don't know that it's made for the sand. I mean, we fought a lot of wars not in the sand. I mean, I'm sure... And by the way,
yeah,
I mean, even
lately,
if they have...
In the last several years, they've all been on the sand.
I'm sure Iran has plenty of sand. It's I mean, it's the Middle East. It is the middle...
Well, Iran
it is literally the, like, the middle of the
million...
World.
Infantry strong. They got 1 million people in their armed forces. We probably got, with the active and the reserves, 2 or 1/3 of that.
You're you know, it sounds like I'm defending the war, but no. I mean, like, they might have more troops, but it's like North Korea has more troops than we do. But I guarantee you, if it came down to a full-scale war against North Korea, we'd put North Korea in their place in, like, 3 weeks. I mean, like, North Korea still have, like, Cold War planes. They have nukes, I guess, but they still have, like, Cold War planes. And a lot of their troops are underfed, and they're under-equipped,
yeah,
and they have no armor. They have no equipment.
But what about all their neighbors? What do you think South Korea...
South Korea's on our side.
I know, but... If we went to war with North Korea, well, don't you think South Korea and all these other countries are going to be hit too? Just like Iran has been targeting all of our bases.
I'm sure if something happened...
Almost all the bases over there has been evacuated.
Well, I'm sure that if something happened and we had to go to war with North Korea, South Korea would help us. But, I mean, I don't know, by that logic, I mean, like... China and Russia were rather chummy with Iran. And what has Russia and China done? China's just continued to sell stuff to Iran, but, I mean, China's a big business. I mean, I didn't expect them to know.
Yeah, but China wants to take Taiwan,
and
we ain't gonna really have any reason to open up our freaking mouths because of what we're doing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The United States has always been big...
You don't think Trump's gonna... defend Taiwan, do you?
Oh, I think Trump might defend, yes. Well, I mean, the United States has a lot of business interest in Taiwan. Yes, I think the United States will defend Taiwan. I think it's more of a... The United States has always been big on... Now, this sounds bad, but I think the United States has kind of always been big on rules for thee, not for me.
Well, true.
We don't follow the rules we set.
Well, some people have, you know... done a good job when they're in office. But then there's others, you know, especially with this president we got now. I mean, we're the laughing stock of the world. Nobody wants anything to do with us. You know, what's Trump's move going to be one day to the next day? I mean...
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say we're a laughing stock right now.
Another president.
I mean, a laughing stock would entail we're a joke. I mean, I think people are rather unsettled right now, if anything. Because, I mean, like...
They think Trump is a joke.
They think Trump's nutty. I don't think you'd be... If I saw what Trump was doing right now, I wouldn't be taking Trump lightly at all. I mean, Trump's done unbased or unseated one world leader and went to war with another. I mean, I would be... I mean... Trump might, a lot of the things he does might be unhinged, but I think we're the, like, if anything, right, it would seem to me that right now, obviously Russia has invaded Ukraine, and that's still going on, so that's, you know, no bueno, but, it's not really all that different.
Well, no, us doing that to Iran is not a whole lot different than Russia doing that to Ukraine. Only they've been there longer. We don't actually want to take Iran over. We thought if we put a different leader in there, regime change, you know, that they would all be boarding ships over here wanting to hug and kiss Trump and, you know, tell him how great he is and give him another award.
I don't really...
Put his name on it.
Well, again, I'm not sure where the logic came from that killing the Shah, or sorry, killing the Ayatollah was going to just cause a regime change that was going to be great. I mean, like...
You know where that comes from?
We were friendly with the Shah.
When you got an idiot as a president that doesn't read his classified information from the different agencies, he has his staff prepare him more videos of what was shot over there, and that's how he gets his war news. That's how he gets his war news. He don't read those things. Trump don't like to read. He, you know, that's been a fact, you know, for a long time that Trump don't like to read. And if he sat down and read a book to you, you probably would think he was freaking damn 4 year old or something.
Well, what do you think about the supposed peace talks?
A 4 year old can talk to you a lot better than a 4 year old can read a book to you.
I mean, but what do you think about the peace talks or the supposed peace talks going on? I mean, Iran has let through 10 oil tankers as a show of good faith, and also they've even let through I should say they let through humanitarian aid, and they let through 10 oil tankers as a show of good faith.
Well, they give Donald Trump gifts. They're wanting to surrender. They're giving him gifts and money and begging him.
I don't think they're giving him money. I mean, Donald Trump says that the oil tankers were a gift to America. It's just phrased strangely, but I mean, it's a show of goodwill. I mean,
and then the money he gets from it, he'll sink into a Swiss bank account or something. That money they got from that Venezuelan oil was not put in our coffers. That was put in a few different bank accounts around the world. And Trump's just embezzling it for him. Yeah. I believe that.
What do you think about Trump's name being on the money?
Trump's name being funny?
On the money.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. No president really ever had time or probably even thoughts of wanting to do that.
Did you hear the quote from Scott Bessent last hour?
No.
All right, I'll read it real quick. I have the quote here. Under President Trump's leadership, we are on a path toward unprecedented economic growth, lasting dollar dominance, and fiscal strength and stability. There is no more powerful way to recognize the historic achievements of our great country and president, Donald J. Trump, than the U.S. dollar bills bearing his name, and it is only appropriate that this historic currency be issued at this semi-quincentennial.
Well, don't think you that Hitler, when Allies was, Russia was about 100 miles away, and we was about 100 miles away, Hitler wasn't telling those people everything's groovy. We got this war. I mean, don't worry about those bombs that are coming over your head, you know. They'll run out of them here in a little bit, and then we're going to kick their ass.
You don't think
that's what Hitler was doing? And that's exactly what Trump's going to do. Trump would not surrender to save.
Well, I don't think
people
we're losing this
from
war.
The United States getting completely abolished.
No, I don't think that's exactly. I mean, Germany was literally being collapsed in from all sides. They had the Soviets pushing in from one side. They had us pushing in from another side. That's a whole bit different kind of a thing. I mean, it'd be kind of hard to lie to your people. I mean, they're actively being bombed, and like your cities are actively being taken. But I mean, like, There's no ground, there's no, like, taking of land or anything. It's just bombs right now.
Yeah, but he tells us we're in the Gilded Age right now. The economy's the best it's been in 50 years. And he thinks we're all dumb. He'll tell you, if Russia was 100 miles away from Washington, D.C., he'd be telling everybody more, so no, it was my plan. I got them right where I want them. He wouldn't go ahead and surrender, so they wouldn't kill every person in Washington, D.C. If they'd said, if we have to end up taking Washington, D.C. by force, we will kill every freaking person in Washington, D.C. Do you think Trump would surrender and save those people?
I don't think that would happen.
No, they're all going to go down for him.
I don't think that would happen.
Well, no, that's probably never going to happen.
The odds that we lose this war,
when you got running,
it's just going to be a lot longer than Donald Trump's
time. And the commander-in-chief, sure, that whatever his name is, head chef or whatever, you know, he was in the military. But for probably the last 10 years of his life, he was a news announcer at Fox News. Now, don't you think we had some high-ranking generals that would have been better for that job?
Oh, well, sure, but I mean, last time...
we might have had some little bit better war plans right now and decisions made. And maybe not kissing Trump's ass.
Well, I'm sure the United States has had war plans in... I mean, I'm sure we have war plans against Canada. I mean, there's war... I'm sure we have war plans in case we go into another civil war. We have war plans against everybody. I'm certain of it.
Well,
I mean, I don't think Hegg said...
I don't think Biden ever had big war plans for Canada and Greenland and Cuba and Venezuela and Iran.
War plans... It's not like they were planning to... It's not like they were planning to attack.
It's a defensive plan.
Yeah.
But
it's a just in case.
You know, if you got a buddy of yours, and then you got this guy that you know hates you, I mean, which one are you going to be more worried about getting in a fight with? Your buddy, you know, he's not going to beat your goddamn brains in and busted your mouth and jaw up.
My point is that...
The guy that hates you, that's what he will do.
Well, my point just is that Hegseth is not making those military plans. I mean, I'm sure a lot of those plans have been in place.
You don't think he stuck his nose into that?
Oh, I'm sure he's made calls. I'm not saying that. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, that's his job. But... war plans, I mean, obviously,
sure,
there's not like a script to run.
That.
But I mean, I assume those war plans have been in place for quite a while.
But do you think they're even look at the war plans that was there 4 years ago? Or 2 years ago? He's more worried about, he's like Trump, he has to look like a big shot, a big man. He's going in there and doing those war plans along with the generals.
Hegg says?
And the generals say, that ain't right. He'll say, I said it's right. He's the ultimate authority there. You can't tell him nothing. That's why people can't tell Trump stuff, too. He'd be a lot better off if he hasn't ran his mouth over some things.
I don't know.
I'll
get
off here and listen to you.
Alrighty.
Later.
Have a good one. I don't know. It would just seem... I mean, maybe I'm just... I understand that Trump likes to give orders, but I mean, I don't think Trump's as dumb as he lets on, and I don't think Hegseth is all that dumb. I would... I mean, maybe they're, like, changing plans or something a little bit, but I don't think they're making, like, the 100% certain, like, this is what's happening. I would assume they're taking advice from the generals. I mean, I don't know that they're taking the exact plans from the generals or anything like that, but, I mean, I'm sure Trump's got, like a war council or something like that, full of, you know, generals and the like. But yeah. So, but with that being said, I suppose, there's, like I did say, the, where is it at? Yeah, so Trump's name is going to go on the money. And Scott Bessent, I guess, is just cool with that. I don't know. You shouldn't be putting people's names on the money who are the president. You know, the king's name was on the money. I don't know. Like I said in, I think it was last hour, everybody loved Caesar until they stabbed him in the back. You know, Caesar's name was on the money. I just don't think it's all that great. I mean, you know, as the story goes, I don't know. It would seem to me that it's not that great a plan, though. I mean, people are not very happy about it. I guess unless you're the I mean, a lot of the politicians were happy about it, but, you know, those were the Republican peoples, I guess. Or Republican politicians, I should say. But, no, I did, however, see earlier today that there was a CPAC meeting in Texas, CPAC being the, let me make sure I got this right here. CPAC is the, yeah, Conservative Political Action Conference. Okay, yes, Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC. Meeting, so they had a meeting in Texas, and it showed a divide amongst the younger and older conservatives. The AP was at the CPAC event, I suppose, and, they interviewed a lot of people, and, they quoted us some of the young ones here, Benjamin Williams, a 25-year-old marketing specialist for the Young Americans for Liberty, said, we did not want to see more wars. We wanted actual America First policies. And Trump was very explicit about that. It does feel like a betrayal for sure. So, you know, 25 years old. So, he's obviously not a fan. And apparently a lot of the younger people there are also not fans. I'm sure there's crossover, obviously. There's always crossover. But they also interviewed somebody, and this is a 70-year-old retired defense contractor named Joe Ropar, out of McKinney, Texas. He said, I don't believe he just started a new war. He was acting in response to a 40-year-old war by Iran. How long were we supposed to wait? I think he did what he had to do, when he had to do it. Do nothing? I'm not on board with that. Well, I don't think we were ever doing nothing, but, you know, that's besides the point. But, yeah, so apparently the Republican Party is split on this. It would seem that that a lot of the older people feel that this was, I guess, a necessary evil, I suppose. Now, I don't know. It would seem to me that they've been saying that Iran's going to get nukes for quite a while now. You know, I mean, they said that Iran was going to have nukes in, like, I don't know, 2 weeks or 2 months or something a while back. Then we bombed the plants the that were allegedly making missiles or researching missiles or something. Said they were obliterated, and then said that they were close to making nukes. Sorry, I have hiccups all of a sudden. Close to making nukes again. And now we got to go back in to deal with that. But also, I guess this isn't a war of regime change, says the Trump administration. I don't know about that. And I don't know. Once again, I mean, I don't know. The Shah was in place before the Ayatollah. We were friendly with the Shah. The Ayatollah grew in popularity, and they overthrew the Shah. So, I mean, they are the ones who wanted the Shah out. They put in the Ayatollah. I mean, it would seem to me that if they wanted the Ayatollah out, they're the ones who overthrew the Shah. I mean, they could just overthrow the Ayatollah. I mean, they did it with the Shah. And that's what happened with the whole Iranian hostage crisis, because we had the Shah. We took the Shah in, gave him treatment in New York. And yeah, and then they took a bunch of people hostage and, you know, basically said, give us this guy back and we'll give you these guys back. I mean, I would think that if they wanted a new government and they wanted, you know, quote-unquote freedom, I would think that they would probably do something about it. And also, freedom is such an abstract thing. Now, don't get me wrong, I like freedom just as much as the next guy, but my definition of freedom is not the same as somebody else's definition of freedom. I mean, I'm sure that people in Iran feel they're free. At least most of them, I think, I would assume, feel they're free. I mean, it's like Russia. I mean, we don't think Russians are free. I mean, a lot of people don't, I suppose. But I don't think Russians know that, or at the very least, I don't think that Russians think they're not free. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I would think that they feel they have freedom to some level, I guess. But, I mean, absolute freedom is anarchy, I guess, because, you know, nobody can tell you anything. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. So I guess it's just what you're willing to give. But, I don't know. If they wanted American-style freedom, or, you know, something like that, I'm sure they would have it. It's just not their thing. It's a cultural kind of thing. Now, a little less, I mean, it's still political, but a little less so. Iran has banned their international sports teams from playing games in hostile nations. Which doesn't apply to the, I guess there's an upcoming soccer game that they're playing against Dubai, and it's going to happen in Saudi Arabia. Which I find to be fascinating. Because if you're going to not allow people to play in hostile nations, I would assume that Saudi Arabia, the country that allegedly wants the U.S. to continue attacking Iran and has allowed U.S. troops to use military bases in Saudi Arabia and allowed U.S. Air Force to use air bases in Saudi Arabia. And I'm pretty sure Saudi Arabia's helped with, like, logistics supplies, and I'm pretty sure they've helped shoot down incoming missiles. Like, I would, if I were Iran, they'd be a hostile nation. Oh, by the way, obviously, I guess I'll say it, but I don't, you know, I figure it's self-explanatory, I suppose. But, Iran has banned them from going to, I guess, hostile nations to play sporting events because of, you know, that apparently they can't guarantee player safety. So, there's that. Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to attack the players. I mean, the players aren't soldiers, but I guess bombs are flying, so, you know, you'll have that. Yeah, I don't know. Explosions have, I can't think of the word. Collateral damage, as it goes. But yeah. But also, the statement also didn't mention, this is the reason I wrote it down, I wouldn't have, you know, the soccer game I thought was interesting, I guess, because, once again, the Saudis have, the crown prince of the Saudis, at least, I don't know who's really in charge, I mean, maybe, I'd assume the crown prince, I think is, Mohammed Salman, yeah, but anyways, they have, he has been, to my understanding, trying to, like, court the United States into continuing it. So, I don't know what's up with that, and I don't know why you wouldn't consider them a hostile nation. But that's besides the point, I suppose. The reason I wrote it down is because the statement that they've released, it was the, like, Ministry of Foreign Affairs or something. I don't... One of their, ministries, governments. The statement also didn't mention the FIFA World Cup, and the FIFA World Cup is going to be held in, the United States. Well, games are going to take place in three different countries, the United States, Canada, and Mexico, so North America. And I would figure all three of those countries would be considered hostile nations. Now, I don't know, maybe you could cut Canada and Mexico some slack. They haven't done anything, to my understanding. I mean, they might help with, aerial footage or something, I don't know. I mean, like, the UK has given us, like, intel on their positions, but I would figure any intel on their positions that they would have, we would have. I mean, we're, you know. Anyways. But, yeah, so you might be able to cut them slack, but I would not be letting them come to the FIFA World Cup in the United States. I would hope that Donald Trump wouldn't do anything like arrest foreign nationals coming to play the FIFA World Cup. But, you know, there's a lot of things Donald Trump has done that I would hope he wouldn't have done. There's a lot of things I thought he wouldn't do because it just doesn't make sense that he ended up doing. So, nonetheless, it's an interesting time right now. I know somebody who's going to the FIFA World Cup, so I'm interested to get feedback from that. Well, not like I don't know them personally. I know somebody who knows somebody who's going. So, that'll be interesting. There were at one point in time concerns that ICE was going to be there. I don't think ICE is going to show up. They didn't show up to the Super Bowl, I don't think. And if they did, I didn't hear anything about it, so not much happened. But yeah, so, well, that is that. As far as the politics go, we only have about 4 minutes here, so I'll just give some of my thoughts about it. Well, I don't think Trump's name should be on the money. It seems a bit dictatory to me, you know. I don't think that's great. The last person whose name we had on the money, who was the active ruler, we overthrew. So, there's that. But I don't know. It's been that way since, I think the year was 1861. I don't know why you'd go changing it now. And I don't think the logic they gave fits at all, especially considering it's all not true. I mean, there's no way we are in an economic boom right now. You know, I just don't believe it. Even if the administration isn't lying, I don't believe what they say because they lie so much. And then if I find out it is true, it's not even true. It's like a half truth or a misrepresentation. Like they just play it up to the 10th power. Like, it's absurd. But it's good that Iran's letting humanitarian aid in. It's good that they let oil come out of the Hormuz Strait. I hope these you know, supposed peace talks or whatever they're supposed to be are fruitful. I rather anti-war. The war is, like I said, big waste of money. Speaking of, once again, a little over $500 million spent, and we're only 4 weeks into the war. Or I said $500 million. $100 billion. $50 billion. A little over $50 billion, roughly, spent as of now. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. War is a big waste of money. And, gas prices are at $4 right now, so it's only going to get worse until this whole thing's solved, so I hope it's solved sooner rather than later. And I hope, honestly, we solve whatever problems we have with Venezuela still sooner rather than later. I would like to do as much business with everybody as we can. That's how global cooperation works. And I think global cooperation is it'd be a beautiful thing if we can make it happen. It just seems to not be able to happen. Well, we have about a minute and a half here. If anybody else would like to call in before the show's over, feel free. We could probably take one more call. 740-383-9944. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting time, like I said. I don't see the reason that we had to go to war with Iran. I guess they claim it was a national security reason, but it would seem pointless to me to go bombing them. I don't think that they were a national security, but I'm also not in the military, I suppose. But the war as a whole isn't a popular idea, especially sending extra people, extra boots on the ground, as they say, to the Middle East was not popular. It does kind of seem like they're planning for some, I don't know. I mean, the number of troops they have in the Middle East is now up to 50,000. I mean, 50,000 is a big number of troops. I mean, we have, you know, hundreds of thousands, I guess, but that's still a lot of troops. They have sent 4 extra warships as well, one of them being an amphibious assault ship. So, it's interesting. I guess we'll see how the whole war progresses. I hope it doesn't progress much further, and everything gets solved. But hope dies last, as they say, and it's not looking great. But with that being said, I have about 5 seconds here, so I hope you enjoy the rest of your night. Have a wonderful night. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could.